I may talk to you a few minutes here this evening about another great and glorious blessing of God that cometh upon poor sinners like ourselves. Here in Romans chapter 3, and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification. Justified before the bar of God. Some say that there is conditions set forth in justification, conditions. Some say this and some say that. But the only condition of our acceptance with God is a perfect righteousness. All other conditions mentioned, talked about, pointed out, are null and void. Nothing to it. The only condition of our acceptance with God is a perfect righteousness. That's what the law requires. God's holy law requires a perfect righteousness. In passing, before I lose the thought, what God demands, God provides. The law requires a perfect righteousness. The law can have no more, and the law can accept nothing less. It's what you got to have, perfect righteousness. To justify, or divine justification, is a prerogative of God alone. In this 8th chapter of the book of Romans is this verse. That says in verse 33. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I said this morning, if you remember, that God who would gather all of his people, his elect, they'd be on his right hand. There they stand. There'll be no fresh or new charge laid against them because they've been acquitted. They've been justified in the sight of God. And here he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? It is God that justifies. A divine prerogative that belongeth to God himself. He justifies. No one can lay any charge against one who's the recipient of the blessing of justification. That staggers my very imagination. I look constantly, instead of looking outward, I look inward a whole lot. And what I see in me is not favorable. But I have another thought, that there can be no new charge laid against me. Because when he justified me, I was ungodly. I was ungodly when he justified me. I was as ungodly as a man can be ungodly. But yet, he bestowed justification, my soul, ungodly. Over here in the, I think it's the first psalm. I'll read it. Verse 1 of Psalm 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That is a biblical word, isn't it? Ungodly. Can you find anybody that's ungodly in this generation of religious people? Well, you have to look far and near before anyone would describe themselves as being ungodly. Everybody thinks they've got some godly disposition about them. Ain't nobody except a poor sinner whom God has made known to his soul that he's a sinner. That's the only fella that'll climb or sit alongside of this word, ungodly. Ungodly is the opposite of everything that's godly. He's ungodly. Well, there's certainly something godly about me. I don't take the Lord's name in vain. Well, you don't publicly, but you do privately from time to time. Ungodly. Ungodly means wicked. That's what it means. If you look in the center reference column of your Bible, you'll find that there's a little number there that says 2. And the same number is right by the U in the first verse that says ungodly. Ungodly, the better word for it, is wicked. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked, verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Ungodly. That's a word that's in the Bible. Ungodly. To justify is a divine prerogative. It is God that justifies. Now, if any person can be found that has never broken God's divine law, he might be justified by it in a manner that is strictly legal. But in this way, none of the human race. I mean, not one member of the human race. I mean, not one from Adam until now. Not one can be justified or stand acquitted before God. Why? Because it says here in this third chapter, it says, for all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. So you see what I'm saying? If a person could be found in Adam's fallen race that has never broken God's divine law, he might be justified by it in a manner strictly legal. But in this way, no member of the human race can be justified or stand acquitted before God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there is none righteous. No. Surely there is some righteous people that can be found who are human beings, a member of Adam's race. No, not one. Well, maybe that's just your imagination. Maybe that's just your interpretation. No. The word of truth says no, not one. None righteous. No, not one. So the whole world, having transgressed the law of God, are guilty before the eternal judge, and they are under the sentence of death. On this ground, every offender is excluded from all hope and left to utter destruction. Hell and misery is his end. Unless God, in grace, shows favor to him. For as an obedience, absolutely perfect, is the only righteousness which the law can accept. It can't accept anything less than absolute, immaculate, pure, unadulterated, unmixed righteousness. Won't accept anything less. So punishment inconceivable, or death eternal, is the least penalty it will inflict on those who fall under its curse. God help us. Hide us in the cleft of the rock. Lift our feet from the miry clay and put our feet upon the rock. The rock of ages. That unshakable foundation. Lay that foundation in our hearts. The justification of a sinner is not by a personal, but a imputed righteousness. It is a righteousness without law. Over here in verse 21 of this third chapter, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. That righteousness is found in Him whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought in an everlasting righteousness. He has established a righteousness. And He freely imputes that righteousness to the poor, wandering sinner who has become a believer in the Lord Jesus. This righteousness is provided by grace, and it's revealed in the gospel. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul says in this first chapter of Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes the gospel. Christ is the gospel. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein, that is therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Revealed in the gospel, provided by the grace of God. For which reason, that obedience by which a sinner is justified, and his justification itself is called evangelical. Is this, or in this, there is the most wonderful display of God's divine justice and a most wonderful display of His unlimited, boundless grace. Now, of divine justice, if we regard the meritorious cause and ground on which the justifier proceeds in absolving the poor sinner and pronouncing him righteous, we can see that absolute divine justice is satisfied, not in the sinner, but in the sinner's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this business of unlimited, boundless grace is seen if we are to consider the state and the character of those persons to whom this blessing is directed. And that's poor, helpless, hopeless, doomed, damned sinners like you and I. The persons to whom this wonderful favor is granted are sinners. sinners, ungodly sinners. Look here in chapter 4. Verse 5. And see if you do not agree with me about the boundless, unlimited grace of God. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies who? Who is being justified? The ungodly. The ungodly. That's what you were. When God sweetly revealed the gospel to your soul, you was ungodly whether you like it or not. That's what you was. You wasn't no different than I was. You like to hear me tell how bad I am and how bad I was. You like that, don't you? But you're no different. You're no different. You're just as ungodly as I was. Ungodly. That's who the recipient of justification is the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. And then it says, but to him that worketh not. Verse 4 says, now to him that worketh. Now to him that worketh is the reward of justification. To him that works is the reward of justification and of eternal life connected with it. It says, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh, a man that, like most religious people are, they feel like, naturally, this comes to them, that if they're good enough, they can be accepted by God according to their goodness, their good works. That cannot be. Because now to him that worketh, to be accepted by God, to be justified before God, is a reward, or the reward, not reckoned of grace, but it's a debt. The word freely by his grace does away with this work business. Justification, like every other blessing of God, is a free gift. If it's free, it's not a prize or a reward. It's free without any strings attached to it. It's given to the ungodly. What has the ungodly got that would merit him this tremendous blessing? It's not of works. Him that worketh, now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace but of death. But to him that worketh not, it says, to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifies who? The ungodly. The unrighteous. Oh, listen to me. If you just read these scriptures and read them To him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, in OT, him that has no works, does not work, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, freely imputed to him for righteousness. So, but to him that worketh not, no works, that justifies the ungodly, not the righteous, not the holy, not these that are pious, but the ungodly, his faith, or that which he believes. That which he believes is the Christ, as he's revealed in the Scripture, the sovereign King of glory, who become a man, and as a man, accepted their plight, and on their behalf, he took up their cause and said, I'll be accountable for them. I'll provide them with the righteousness. My obedience will be their obedience, and I'll bear their shame and their guilt and their punishment that's due them for their sins. I'll take care of everything that they owe. I'll stand for them, the man Christ Jesus. His faith, or that which he believes, is counted unto him for righteousness. It hooks him up with the Lord Jesus, connects him to the Lord Jesus. So by this we learn, I believe, that the subjects of justification considered in themselves, they're ungodly. We've already found that out. But not only are they ungodly, but they are destitute of a perfect righteousness. They have performed no good works at all. And they also are entirely destitute of every heavenly quality. They have no righteous disposition. They are considered as ungodly when the blessing of justification is bestowed upon them. They're ungodly. As he worketh not, all works are excluded from the cause of his justification. To him that worketh not, all works are excluded. Is that too hard to understand? We are justified by grace, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Justified by grace stands in direct opposition of justification by works. You can't have it both ways. All works and worthiness of every kind and of every degree are excluded. They're not on the menu. So therefore, whosoever is justified by grace is considered as absolutely unworthy in the very instant when this blessing comes to his soul. He's ungodly. Being justified freely by his grace. Now, if these words written here in this third chapter of the book of Romans, if these words do not prove beyond speculation, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that justification is entirely free without the least regard to any supposed holy quality in the sinner, or any good works of any form or any degree performed by the sinner. If that's not so, then it's impossible to express and to preach such a thing as I've been preaching here tonight. Being justified freely by his grace, freely, to him that worketh not. No works, ungodly. Oh, listen. This tells us, in regard to God's justification, it's an act of God of pure, unadulterated, unmixed grace, exclusive of all so-called holy dispositions and good works. Absolutely independent of any such thing as human worthiness. Null and void. So, if our pardon be free, our justification cannot be conditional. He and he alone is the justifier of the ungodly. The person who is justified, who's the recipient of justification, that person has no cause in him why he should be treated by a righteous God in the manner that he is. No cause in him. No quality in him conducive of God looking in his direction. Nothing good can be found but a mass of impurity. I remember reading in the scriptures that they said this about the Lord Jesus. It said that they hated him without a cause. That is, he being immaculately pure. No sin in him. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief, but not acquainted with sin. Went about doing good. Who always pleased God. Kind and considerate and long-suffering was the Lord Jesus. There was no cause why. No cause in him why these Jews should hate him. No cause, Bob, whatsoever. Now the person that is justified freely by the grace of God is accepted by God without any cause in him. No cause in Christ for the Jews to hate him. There's no cause in you for God to justify you. See what I'm saying? nothing in him, nothing about him, is considered by the sovereign dispenser of the blessing of justification. The righteousness by which we are justified must be perfect. Listen to me. It must be perfect, a perfect righteousness. It must be equal to the demands of the law of God. It must meet the demands of God's holy law. Every judge, Jeff will tell you that this is so, every judge on the bench must have some rule by which to proceed with his judicial capacity. And God has the rule of law, and the rule of law must be met perfectly. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who undertook our cause to save us, met the law. Gave answer to the claims of God's holy law. And God accepted what he done and accepted us on his behalf. We're one with him. And our entitlement to all the glories and the blessings of heaven is rooted and grounded in imputed righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus freely charged to our account. Does that help you any? That help you? Help me. Let's stand. We'll go home.